Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we will learn refreshing truth that is straight from the Bible.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, episode number 6, where we will be talking about praying for those who persecute us. Now, that's quite a challenge, and I'm throwing a big thing out here. I'm asking you to be like a saint of God or to be like one of the apostles, because times are tough. The world is getting very difficult for Christians around the world, in China and Nigeria and many, many other places. And even here in the United States, Christians are getting criticized and treated unfairly and fired from jobs or discriminated against. And so we need to be able to forgive people, to love our enemies, and to pray for those who persecute us. And in today's Uplifting Moment, we're going to talk about how to have a holy heart, to have a good heart, and to pray for those that bring trouble on us, because that is uniquely Christian. Now, maybe you've got a job at which people are tough, people are mean to you just because you're a Christian. And do you know, when that happens to you, that great is your reward in heaven if you're being persecuted just for being a believer? It says here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of my name. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In these days and in these times, as Christians get treated more and more badly with every passing year, we need to rejoice and be glad at what is happening to us. And that takes great maturity of heart, because there is a part of us called the ego or the flesh that wants to rebel, that wants to lash out, that wants to get back, that wants to be in charge and retaliate all the time. That's not a good part of us, and we need to be spirit-filled. We need to walk in the Spirit, and then we need to aim towards a holy life. God is not interested in the size of your house. God is interested in the size of your heart. And he wants you to have a perfect heart. Let's go over later on in Matthew 5 to verses 44 to 48. Matthew 5, 44 to 48. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So what makes us perfect? It's right back there. It says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you can love those people who harm you, then you've got the Spirit of God inside you, because that's just not humanly possible. You are spiritually perfect when your love is perfect. And you need to love with the love that comes from God, because human love is not going to be strong enough. It's not going to last long enough. You need a special filling of God's love in your heart, so that you can love your enemies and so that you can pray for those who persecute you. I had a colleague in ministry who was very proud and constantly put me down in public. And so I prayed for this person, and I turned the other cheek because the scripture was telling me to, and even though it was very, very difficult for me at the time. I prayed, and every time the person cursed me, I blessed them. And they cursed me and I would bless them, and they would curse me and I would bless them. And after 3 weeks of this, the person changed their attitude towards me entirely. The person actually changed a large chunk of their life and realized that they had a wrong attitude, and they went and they changed their attitude and became quite a pleasant human being. So it is transformational and it is powerful when we treat people according to the grace of God rather than according to what they deserve. We need to love our enemies and we need to pray for those who persecute us, and then we'll be sons of our Father who is in heaven. We will be like God. We will have his same sort of genetic disposition. We will react the way God reacts. And when God saw Saul, the persecutor of the church, running around trying to kill Christians, he loved Saul. He was patient with Saul, even though he was being terribly destructive. And he appears to Saul on the Damascus Road And he reveals himself to Saul, and Saul repents and becomes Paul the Apostle. God was patient with a persecutor of the church. God can be patient with cruel and nasty people. They might come into your life, they might do terrible things to you, but if you pray for them, they might be turned around. And that will show that you have a good and kind heart, and that you can forgive all the afflictions that have come upon you in your life. Now, the members of your own family might persecute you. It might be your father or your mother, or your brother or your sisters. And they might revile against you. They might scream at you and yell at you and make your life difficult and put obstacles in your way and interfere with your money or your job or make false accusations or even file court cases against you. And yet you are to love your enemies, even if they're of your own household, and you're to pray for those who persecute you. Now, I'm not saying that you have to trust them. If you know someone is untrustworthy, it's foolish to trust them. You might have to keep a little bit of a distance. If someone's abusive or violent, you might have to keep a great deal of distance, and in some cases, you might even need to get a restraining order for the safety of yourself and your children. But spiritually speaking, your heart is to incline toward forgiveness. You are to forgive even when there's no reason to forgive, because that is the nature of God. God forgave us on the cross when there was no reason for us to be forgiven. We hadn't done any good thing. There was nothing in us worthy of the grace of God. And yet God went to the cross and sent his Son to the cross that we might be saved and we might not perish. Each one of those people who is hurting you has been hurt in some way, because hurt people hurt people. They are perishing in their own rage and their envy. They're caught up in their materialism. They're blinded by this world, and they don't understand, and that's why they're hurting you. But God wants them saved, and they'll be saved when you pray for them. And as you pray for them, you will get a great reward in heaven, and we saw that earlier on. So God is working in you, and he wants you to forgive others and to bless others. And Matthew 6:14-15, "For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Work on having a soft heart. Work on having a good heart. Work on having a very blessed heart. Let's go over to Luke 6:27-31. Luke 6:27-31. And Luke's a very kind person. He's a physician. He's Paul's physician, and he's someone who cares about the broken people in life. And so he's writing here in Matthew 6:27-31, and he says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also, and whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." So God says that by our standard of measure, by the way we treat others, it will be treated back to us in return. If we give, it will come back to us in abundance. If we do not judge, then we will not be judged. If we are merciful, then we will be treated mercifully. And if we want a reward in heaven, we have to go beyond the normal. We have to step out of the normal patterns of life of giving to those who will give back to us, and of caring for those who will care back for us, and greeting those who will greet us back. We have to get out of the attitude of reciprocity and justice and get into the attitude of grace and kindness. Because we're no better than the non-Christians and the heathen and anyone. We're no better than a gangster. Gangsters will give to those who will give back to them. We have to have hearts that show Christ. We have to have hearts that are full of the kindness of God, and that starts with our prayer life. If we're not praying for those who persecute us, we cannot possibly turn the other cheek. We don't have the strength. It seems so counterintuitive. We want to bristle, we want to fight back, we want to grab a gun or a knife and get them, but that is not of Christ. We have to be someone who doesn't retaliate, who puts down the flesh, who lives in the Spirit, and who walks with Christ. Now, this is very challenging, and I'm sure you've got lots of questions about how to do it. And what about this person you lent all the money to and they never paid you back? And you might need to let go of that money, but don't give them any more money. Don't be unwise. You don't have to trust someone who scammed you. And in a few cases, in a few rare cases, you might have to go to court for the sake of your family. But most of the time, pray for them. Love them. Seek their salvation. Seek their good. Say, this person is being mean to me because they're perishing and they need Jesus. Even if they're a Christian leader, they might be mean to you out of their ego or their pride. And you might have to forgive your pastor or some other Christian leader who's hurt you very, very badly. And you might need to just let go of that and say, Lord, this is now your problem. It's not my problem. And holding on to this bitterness is not going to help me at all. So you need to let go of the bitterness, the envy, the rage, the need for justice, the need to retaliate, the need to get things even and reciprocal. In this world, it's never even. Sometimes we get a lot more than we deserve, and sometimes we get a lot less than we deserve. And when we get more than we deserve, we say, bless the Lord, and we thank him for his grace and kindness to us. And sometimes when we get less than we deserve or we're not promoted, we are filled with rage and grudges. But we have to take the one as well as the other, for they both test our heart. The good things test our gratitude, and the bad things test our ability to turn the other cheek and to see that God's in charge of our life and to trust him with the outcome, which may take some time. So I'm calling on you to pray for those who persecute you, because that's what God calls us to at all times. And Romans chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, it tells us never to take revenge, but to leave room for the wrath of God, because God is the just judge. We are not the just judge, and we don't know how to apportion blame. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let your rage get hold of you. Forgive your friends. Pray for those who persecute you. Walk in the grace of God. This is John Edmiston signing off from Uplifting Moments.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. This is a faith ministry, and if the Lord has touched your heart, you may give securely online at eternity.church.